Matt Stajan is going to join us Wednesdays going forward on the big show. Hello, Mr. Stajan. How are you?
I'm good, Pat. Good to be here.
It's slightly different hours in the mornings, hey, when you have to be chipper and all ready to go bright and early. You've got a little more lead time here.
Yeah, this works. Definitely works better for me, waking up. And that's the most, I need my coffee in the morning. And then with the kids, it's pretty crazy. And dealing with those guys on the morning show sometimes, high pressure. high pressure with those guys. But no, I think I chirped Rhett last week and got a phone call quickly after that. You can't chirp Rhett. And now I'm on with you, so yeah, it's perfect for me.
As a sensitive guy, so you got booted when you hurt his feelings, and now you're here. I wanted to the boys speaking of the morning show. They got into it this morning, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday. And I wanted to get your thought on it after Minnesota signed Jonas Brodin to a long term contract yesterday. A lot of people have pointed to Matt Dumba and said he might be the odd man out on that Minnesota blue line and might be on his way out. You've played against him. You know him. What's your feel on Dumba now at 26 years old and with a good chunk of experience in the NHL?
Oh, I think he's obviously elite. He's got so much skill. And he used to skate with us in the summers, in the off seasons when we need skaters because a lot of guys aren't in town. And he trained here and from here. So he'd come out and I'll tell you, he would dominate those skates. I was a close second behind him, but he would dominate, and his skill is right up there, and you can't go wrong. And he's only matured as a player. We've seen everything that's gone on with the Black Lives Matter and his leadership in that, and obviously he's matured as a person, as everybody does as they get older, and his experience is there. So he's a guy that if they are willing to move him, I think you're getting some prime years out of him. For a pretty elite defenseman that's kind of been stuck in Minnesota, where we don't really talk about that team very much.
He's a right shot guy. He's 26 years old. He's got 3 years left on his deal. What do you think about him as a potential fit, whether it's on the right side with Geo or the right side with Hanifin? What do you make of his fit potentially with the Calgary Flames?
Yeah, he would fit. I think you make a guy with that talent level fit. He's he can skate, he can make plays offensively, obviously, and his defensive side of the game is underrated too because he has matured a lot. So it's just making him fit how you want your lineup to look on the back end. Obviously, what would that mean for Hanifin or Valimaki? Because you do want everybody to get their touches in, and who's going to be, obviously Dumba would be a power play guy, so you would make a guy like that fit. Obviously, we would have to see what you'd have to give up to get him, and if that makes sense. But I think most teams in the league would make that guy fit into their lineup.
Well, it's interesting you talk about Dumba and the Flames, and there's a lot of talk about maybe Calgary making some significant changes on their back end. You played a ton with TJ Brody, a longtime teammate of yours. You had a season with Travis Hamonic as well, and both those guys are pending unrestricted free agents. We don't know what their future holds in Calgary. I guess knowing them, having played against both those guys rather substantially, I just your thoughts, the pros and cons of bringing them back or letting them walk?
Well, they're both awesome guys. They don't hurt your dressing room anyway. They just bring value, within the room. So it's really what you want on the ice and what you think they can bring, if they can help your team still. I have nothing but bad things to say about them. I think Brody has been so consistent and is very, sometimes gets flack, which I don't see why. He does make some mistakes. We all do. We all have. But he brings way more good and solidifies your decor. But the big question is, what's he going to get paid? And this is his chance at free agency, probably his last chance to get a big deal. And when you see the numbers from the Brodin deal and what that brought in, I don't know if the Flames would be willing to go that high. You could argue that TJ Brody is just as much value as Brodin. So, it'll be interesting what they do. The Travis Hamonic case, same thing. If you need a steady guy back there, definitely you bring him back, but it's at what cost? And I get the feeling that the Flames are kind of looking, you know, maybe to shake it up a bit, and mm-hmm. they're trying to figure out how they're going to do that. You know, and I think that, you know, starting on the D, you know, you have two guys that you know, can go to free agency and look like they are going to go to free agency, and that's an easy way to start, you know, a little bit of a shakeup that everybody kind of has been talking about.
Put yourself, because, and you know, you've gone through contract negotiations before. I don't think you ever got to the point where you were an unrestricted free agent, though, right? Did you ever get to UFA and have the potential of a big deal in front of you?
No, I went both. I was UFA twice, but both times I signed a couple months left in the season before I became a UFA, so around the trade deadline time. So one was when I get traded to Calgary, and then, you know, they signed me quickly after that, and then the other time was right before the trade deadline when Flames were making decisions on what way to go. So I was an RFA early in my career, and I held out until the day before training camp, but that's when the young guys were, you're battling for every penny back then, and right. and you didn't have as much, you weren't getting paid for potential like everybody gets paid today. So it's an interesting how it's all changed, but you know, the fact that Brody and Hamonic aren't locked up right now, or we haven't heard much, you know, kind of, you know, that's a lot of signs pointing that they're gonna be going to free agency. That's what I would think. But you never know. They have another month here. That doesn't take much, but to get something done once there's, you know, you're up against the clock. But I feel like, you know, we haven't heard much, so I think there's going to be some changes in that area.
One more on that topic. Just put yourself specifically in TJ's shoes, because he's only ever played with one organization. He's a Flames drafted and developed player, and here he is now 30 years old, and he's got the opportunity to go into unrestricted free agency. Signed a really nice contract, a team-friendly contract on his last one. What, like, if you're back in your playing days, what are you weighing right now if you're in a similar spot to Brody?
Yeah, I think, you know, I know they love it here, you know, and I always re-signed with the team I was on, so I, especially when you have a family, which he does, and they have a little girl, and they do like it in Calgary, that's all they know. So definitely, you know, if it can work out, you'd want to stay. You know the guys on your team, you're close with a lot of the guys. You know, you probably like what you see with where the future might go, with how the playoffs went, and you hope that you guys keep building off that, but the end of the day, you know, there's got to be a want on both sides, and if you know, and your agent's telling you can get a certain price, you know, by going to free agency, and you know, there is that little birdie in your ear saying you can be closer to home, where you know your parents are, and the rest of your family, you know, that plays into it as well. So he was on a pretty good contract, you know, team friendly contract all these years. You know, and this is his last crack at another big contract. So I would say you would maybe take a little bit less money to stay, but, I don't think you're taking, you know, a big chunk less, if you're getting offered a lot more to play somewhere else. But that's what I would say.
Matt Stajan's with us, former Flame NHL insider, joins us Wednesday on the program. Flames decided to bring back Jeff Ward as their full-time head coach. He'd been the interim since November. They do not get past Dallas in round one of the playoffs, but they were competitive and certainly gave the Stars a run. I'm just curious as to your thoughts on Calgary's decision to bring Jeff back.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think it was the right decision, unless you're going to go out and, you know, pay, you know, one of the big name coaches, and you can get a guarantee that you get the person you want. This is the right move. And it's, the guys can build on it. You know, everybody, there has been a lot of coaching changes here, and it's not always easy, because that means you're not having success. But Jeff Ward's a coach that you can build with. You know, the conversations I've had with people, and, you know, just knowing Jeff Ward from the times I've talked to him, he's very inclusive with the players. But, you know, they talk, everybody puts their input. It's someone you can work with and grow with, and which is so important in today's game, you know, where some of the other coaches maybe we've had here, you know, it was one way, and if it didn't work out, you know, it was kind of too bad. And those are the coaches that have a short shelf life. So I think it's the right great move. I like the way the Flames played with Jeff Ward. You know, he gives guys roles on the team, which is so important in today's game, making the guys feel valued in what they're doing, even if it's the lesser jobs. And he's just a student of the game that continues to learn and get better and better. That's, you know, just talking to him, he's asking questions. You know, he always wants to learn, even though he's a head coach in the NHL. He's a guy that's always adapting and learning.
You kind of talked about it. There's been a lot of coaches and a lot of turnover. This is, you know, the Flames are now in their 20th coach in franchise history, their 18th coach since they moved to Calgary in 1980. I mean, there's been coaching turnover in the franchise, and especially in recent years, there's been a lot of different coaches. How important can a consistent voice be for a group?
It's important, especially if you know, the atmosphere in the dressing room, the guys have bought in, and it works. You know, that it's very important. You know, I think if you lose and, you know, you have a bunch of players that are underachieving and maybe need a fresh voice, you know, it's pretty telling. I think, you know, the management and even the players in the room know when it's kind of maybe, you know, some guys need a fresh start. But when you have someone like Jeff Ward who works with the guys and the guys played hard and, you know, we've heard a lot about how close of a team they were, I think this is the right direction to go in. You grow together and it brings stability. Guys know what they need to do next year, where they'll stand. And you know, I think it's kind of the opposite of what we've seen in the last, you know, at least my time here, where when you bring in a new coach, you don't know what you're going to get and keeps everybody on their toes. And, you know, different coaches have different views on players. I think this is a different approach where you kind of know what's expected of you from the coach. You're working with the coach, and you don't have to worry about the unknown of a new coach coming in.
Matt Stajan's with us, joined us on Wednesday. What'd you make of Game 5 last night? The Islanders stay alive and beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in double OT.
Yeah, well, one thing is, I was thinking about it, I'm like, the Russian goaltending that's left in the playoffs, I'm like, you know, you don't really hear about
it's a good point.
Goaltending coming from Russia. The three guys left standing, they've been all lights out, and I don't remember having a starter my whole career that was Russian. So crazy stuff with that. But you know what? Great goal in overtime. That one timer by Eberle. You know, it's an offside one timer. Great pass from Lee. That's tough to do. That's a highly skilled play, and how effortless and seamless he made that look. You know, as a player who played a lot, I appreciate that, because it was that's a tougher play than people think to get it off that quick on your offside. But as a whole, I think Tampa's the better team. You know, Islanders play their style. It's not the most entertaining to watch, but it's worked for them. It's kept them around, and they're getting timely goals, and they have a chance. But definitely, I think Tampa's the better team. And even with, you know, two of their top players out, I think they're deserving, and the team I want us to go through, just based on you know, their talent level and what they've been through.
What how is the best way to, because you've been down, you've seen yourselves and or teams you've been on in kind of deep playoff holes in a series before, and they found themselves down 3-1 going into last night. What's the best way to approach that as a player or a group of players?
Yeah, you just win the next game. You got to just focus. You know, even dumb it down to, you know, win the next period, win your next shift, and try and get everybody with the same mentality. You don't want to play nervous, because that's when you kind of, and I felt the Islanders maybe did play a little bit nervous in overtime for the first part of it. They didn't have any shots for that, you know, 12-minute span or whatever it was. You know, the desperation wasn't there with their season online, but, you know, that's a little bit, no one wants to make a mistake. And if you can get through that, and then, you know, you're opportunistic, it can happen. But mentally, it's just win that next game. Control what you can. You know, hey, a lot of us would love to be in the spot the New York Islanders are in, even if you're down 3-1 in the conference final. How many players would take that every year of their career to be in that situation? Because, you know, special things happen. We've seen it time and time again. And with Barry Trotz back there, he has them buying in, and it's working. So you never know. Win one more, and it's the one game take all. We'll see.
Great stuff, Matt. Looking forward to doing this every week on Wednesday afternoon, and you can have a little bit more sleep and be a little bit more ready to go and rock and roll. You don't need coffee for a 2:30 hit, right?
No, it's great. And is Will going to be joining us as well?
Yeah, we can. I think we should. I think we should get Will on this. You can chirp him a little bit, and he won't get his feelings hurt.
Oh no! Well, he was. Yeah, he got booted from the morning too. I see.
You hurt somebody's feeling on that show. You have to come work with me. That's the way it goes. That's your punishment.
No, I like it, Pat. It's great talking to you, and looking forward to next week.
Good stuff, man. Be well, and we'll talk next week. Thanks, Matt.